We managed to link up with Dr. Don Clark, Don, a resident of Garden Valley, Texas, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a bio... This will help in our discussion. He's a biochemist with multiple years of pharmaceutical experience. We're talking about hearts and blood pressure and stuff today. David, I want you to pay attention to this. You will benefit from this discussion.
Yes, I will.
This is an epic health article on... I didn't know your blood vessels take care of themselves. It's a part of your autonomic system inside. You just leave the work to them and you're fine, right?
Well, you should be, but you've got to do things, you know, kind of the right way. We've kind of lost that in modern society for a number of reasons, which we'll go through. And hopefully folks may get some tips from what we talk about today. But Dr. Cynthia Take, at the Harvard-trained cardiologist, she's a Harvard-trained cardiologist in Los Angeles who's practicing internal medicine now, told the Epoch Times, this is where the article is coming from, that the heart is really a mirror of the body's overall state. So if you've got some things going on with hypertension and possibly, you know, clogged blood vessels and stuff, that means that your overall health is not good.
I don't think I know anybody who doesn't have hypertension. I mean, that is so common.
It is common. I used to have hypertension.
Oh, used to?
I used to, and you can get rid of it. No, I used to have my blood pressure, and some people will say this is not really high blood pressure, but it was heading up. My blood pressure was 140 over 90, and sometimes it would spike even higher than that. And so I said, I better do something about this. This is not leading in the right direction, and my GP wanted to put me on statin drugs. And so I said, well, before we do that, let me do some research. And being the good biochemist researcher that I am, I found out that statin drugs have a lot of negative side effects. Mm-hmm. And since then, I am convinced that your body doesn't need a statin drug. That's not what the problem is. So at any rate, I went on a weight loss program and lost about 35 pounds, and now I'm in a good weight range. And subsequently, I've gone on a Mediterranean-style diet. That is fruits, vegetables, protein, good quality protein. Got away from the certain types of fatty acids, polyunsaturated fatty acids.
Oh, we've talked about that. Yeah, that's important.
Which we've talked about. But I've also done other things as well. So, you know, one of the things, at least in this article, that you can do, the modern lifestyle doesn't get you outdoors enough. And being a vintner and a vigneron, I'm outside with the vineyard quite often. And it's either the vineyard or I'm fixing something. You know, when you've got the farm equipment.
You're like a farmer. Like, yeah. We discussed this the other week. You're an agronomist.
Yeah. So there's always something to fix. There's always something to do. I mean, my irrigation system is down because of something in the system. The valves aren't opening. So, you know, there's always something to do. But getting outside and getting natural sunlight can make a big difference. And, you know, most people shy away from the sun. Now, you don't have to be out there until you get sunburned, but getting 10 to 30 minutes of sunlight a day between the hours of 10 and 3, which is kind of the peak hours that the sun is out.
But we're taught to be afraid of the sun because it'll give you skin cancer. You cover up. In fact, there's a line in this article I want to read. It says, a 2023 study published in the BMC Public Health involving 8,613 adults, those who practiced multiple sun protective habits had a 29% higher risk of hypertension. So this is key.
This is one of the keys. So why does your body need sunlight? You know, actually, your skin is another organ, and it's like a solar system, if you will. I mean, a solar panel. your skin is like a solar panel, because when sunlight hits your skin, it does two things positive for you is health-wise. One, it produces vitamin D. Of course, you know, vitamin D is the sun vitamin. And so higher vitamin D levels overall improves your health, because it helps lower inflammation in your body, as well as other things. Vitamin D is involved in all kinds of biochemical reactions in your body. So having high vitamin D levels is very important. But the other thing that is that the sun does is to release nitric oxide. And nitric oxide, you know, my mother used to take nitric oxide tablets for her angina. And what nitric oxide does, it relaxes blood vessels. It's a natural compound that your body produces. And when sunlight hits your skin, it releases nitric oxide. And that then dilates your blood vessels, which then causes what?
So we're not talking about tanning. We're just talking about casual exposure to the sun. Take a short walk or something.
Yeah, we're not saying, okay, you know, stay out in the sun for hours upon hours. But, you know, 10 to 12, 30 minutes is really all that you need, and in order to get this beneficial effect from the sun. And so the nitric oxide release causes blood vessels to relax, which then lowers your blood pressure. So that's a positive thing, you know, to do. And it's relatively simple, and it is inexpensive. All you have to do is walk outside. You know, you can't be all covered up. Now, if you live,
this also recommends doing that between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So sun angle must have a lot to do with this.
Well, that's when the sun is, you know, more over your head, as opposed to either dawn or dusk, where, you know, that you're not getting all the rays from the sun because of the angle of the sun to the earth. So, yes, that's why those time periods are mentioned. So if you work in an office, for example, instead of eating your lunch inside at your desk, maybe go outside and walk around and go to the park and eat your sack lunch in the park, and just be exposed to natural light. I mean, I've gotten so accustomed that I want to be out in the sun. And of course, during the summer, I'm out in the sun quite a bit. So I get a little bit of a tan. I usually don't stay out there long enough to get burned, and I haven't had any problems with skin cancer whatsoever. So a little bit, and plus I take vitamin D supplements, because I want my natural vitamin D concentration in my blood up around 60 to 80. I think it's nanograms per milliliter, or 100 mils or something like that. Which is a kind of the optimal level of vitamin D.
Now, and just to emphasize here, because our conversations on health go back to the COVID era.
It does.
You gave us some very important knowledge about vitamins and supplements, nutritional supplements. And I've got to tell you, I've gone by what you recommended, and COVID simply hasn't appeared here at all, despite exposure to a whole lot of people during that time. Not even symptoms. So vitamin D, zinc you talked about, quercetin, B12 is another one.
Yep, the B vitamins, mm-hmm. and of course vitamin C, you know, is all of those are important for your immune system. Mm-hmm. And it's your immune system that is keeping you alive. Mm-hmm. And most people don't realize that, you know, they think, well, you know, I don't necessarily have to pay attention to my immune system, but a poor immune system with other factors, you know, can and does lead to cancer.
This article says that your blood spikes many times during the day anyway. In fact, they give an example. If you skip breakfast, grabbed a coffee, and sat down at your desk under fluorescent lights, it likely spiked. On any given day by noon, your vessels have tightened and released dozens of times, a rhythm your body tracks even when your mind is unaware. And over time, all this contraction and expanding is what stiffens blood vessels, correct?
Yes, and it causes damage to the blood vessels. And what happens when your blood vessel is damaged? Well, your body says, well, I got to repair that little tear in my blood vessel, so I'm going to coat it with cholesterol and fatty deposits.
That's what it's for.
Yes. Uh-huh. So really? High cholesterol is not bad. It's you know, trying to repair damage. So we want to try to keep the damage away from the blood vessels so we don't have to repair it with our own natural, you know. So the body is trying to repair a damage, and then there you start getting clogged arteries because the damage is too great. It's not a cholesterol issue. It is a damage issue to your blood vessels. So we're talking a little bit about, okay, get the blood pressure down. That's what causes the blood vessels to tighten up and then to kind of rip and cause the damage.
I have a question for you, because this has just come up with my doctor. Are statins bad for you? In other words, they may achieve cholesterol levels desired, but are there side effects, long-term effects, that statins are responsible for?
Yes, and I would recommend everybody do research on statins. Your doctor has been trained to prescribe statins for a high cholesterol. And while statins do lower cholesterol, there is no connection between your cholesterol levels and your clogged arteries. Cholesterol is naturally produced by your body, and your body is just responding to other stresses that need to be addressed.
Well, I'm a living example here. Let me explain to you, because I was prescribed years ago atorvastatin, which is probably the most common statin drug in the world right now. Everybody has that in their medicine cabinet. And every time I get a blood test, your cholesterol levels are just right on. I read about statins and I said, whoa, I think I'm going to lay off this. It's just a little 10 milligram pill. Take one at night. And I'm going to, what difference could that make? So I went off it. In fact, I talked to a cardiologist. I said, if I do this, how long before you see the effects of not taking it? And he said, 2 to 3 months for most people. You'll see a change in your cholesterol. My cholesterol increased by about 50% in that 3 month time. Now, it still wasn't at bad levels. It was still the LDL, that's the bad cholesterol, was still just under 100, which is for some reason the demarcation point between good and bad. But I was prompted to go back on it. And I'm not happy with that idea.
So here's one of the problems with the statin drugs. It does cause diabetes. It can cause diabetes in people taking statins. So if you didn't have type 2 diabetes, being on a statin drug will probably push you in that direction. That's one of the issues. And we can talk about this maybe some other time, but, you know, statin drugs are not your friends, and it's not the cholesterol that's the problem. It's other things. It's inflammation in your body. It's probably insulin resistance, maybe fatty liver because of the diet. There's all kinds of other reasons why.
Well, this article offers us an encouraging note, saying that a few minutes of morning or midday light may do more for your arteries than another medication.
Yes, absolutely. And if you start to relax your system. Now, sunlight is one thing. Poor sleep can also raise blood pressure. And so the recommendation here is to go to bed and wake up at a consistent time. Now, if you need 7 hours of sleep, then get 7 hours of sleep. If you're the type of person that only needs 6 hours of sleep, get 6 hours of sleep. But go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time. It's this change in time, which the whole nation has gone through with the change in daylight savings time.
That was a wrinkle in sleep habits for me. I didn't ever think it would, but it did this time. I just soon settled on one or the other and stayed there, you know?
Yeah, and it causes disruptions in your blood pressure, the change in sleep. So the recommendation is go to bed to wake up at the same time. Try to keep it pretty consistent throughout the week. Dim lights about an hour before sleep. Keep devices out of the bedroom, like cell phones and things that might wake you up and disturb you during the night, and get sunlight within an hour of waking up.
So if during the course of your week, there's a day or two where you have a chance to catch a few extra winks, stay in bed for like another hour, that might not be a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea, because you wake up and you feel drowsy and you say, you know, I got more sleep. I shouldn't feel drowsy. But, your serotonin levels and all of this start kicking in and you never really wake up. It's you walk around and, man, I'm tired. And so it's better to have a consistent sleep pattern than to try to catch up on the weekends, for example. And, you know, like I said, if you go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up at 6, then keep that pattern. It's much better for your health than changing it. When I was in business, when I was working for the pharmaceutical industry, and took business trips, my sleep pattern was all over the place. And, I'm sure I wasn't interested in measuring my blood pressure, but I'm sure my blood pressure was probably fairly high just simply because of the sleep pattern or the lack thereof. I didn't have one.
It has been claimed that for every time zone you travel, I guess in either direction, ahead or behind, you're for every time zone, every hour difference, your body requires 24 hours to make the adjustment. So if for example, you wake up in New York and you go to bed in California, you're in for 3 days of adjustment.
Yeah, you could. Very much so. And the adjustment should be in 15-minute increments. So, in order to try to minimize the impact on your body. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're gonna have a rough several days. Well, I had to travel to Japan, and one time I took a trip to Japan, and I did it in 48 hours there and back. Mm-hmm. My sleep pattern was extremely disrupted.
Wow.
Anyway, yes, I had a 1-hour meeting, and then we kind of toured around Osaka at the time, and then we got on a plane back home. And it was the toughest trip I think I ever took.
No, I can understand that.
To Africa.
must have been pre-Zoom era.
Yes. Yeah. It was pre-Zoom. We could have done
pre-Zoom.
Could have done that over Zoom or these type of video chats, but video chat was not available at the time. Now, another thing that it causes problems with your blood pressure is sitting, too much sitting.
Uh-oh.
So, if you sit all day, then you got a problem, because sitting, what does it do? Your body, then blood pools in your extremities, mainly your legs, and your blood isn't circulating the way it's supposed to be circulating. Our bodies were made to move. And when we sit all the time, that's not good. Our bodies aren't designed to sit all the time. We have two legs and two arms, and, we were an agricultural society at one point in time, but our modern lifestyle allows, we got to sit at the desk and whatever. There's an easy solution to that, and that is to get up every 30 minutes. Every hour to every 30 minutes, and just walk around. You can walk to the bathroom. You can walk to the, to the water cooler, and walk outside, get a little fresh air and get a little sunshine. But every you know, 30 to an hour, get up and walk.
Now, it's the there, walking, there it is, nitric oxide. That releases nitric oxide in your body.
And what does nitric oxide do? Now, if you were listening to the program, you know that it relaxes blood vessels.
Yes, it does.
So thereby lowers your blood pressure. So that's another thing that you can do. How about most people are dehydrated? This we just don't drink enough water, and you can be overhydrated, and then now you lose electrolytes. But most people are actually dehydrated, and when you feel yourself being thirsty, it's you are really over dehydrated. So you need to be drinking, you know, throughout the day. And a good rule of thumb is to take half of your, to take your body weight in pounds, divide that in two. So let's say you're 150 pounds, you divide in two, that's 75. Then drink 75. You need at least 75 ounces of water daily. And you can, you know, obviously you drink that throughout the day. You don't have to drink the 75 ounces at one time, but you drink it throughout the day. And, you know, it could be in, you know, 6 ounce, 8 ounce, you know, portions, glass of water throughout the day. Will keep you hydrated. And then this helps with lowering your blood pressure as well, because when you're dehydrated, your blood thickens up. Mm-hmm. And so thicker blood, it's harder to pump. Your heart is working more. So drink more water. Another issue is we live in a high sodium diet world. And so we need to, we're too much sodium, not enough potassium. Potassium is critical for proper blood pressure. And so, you've heard of doctors putting patients on low sodium diets. Well, you really need to be on a higher potassium diet. Uh-huh. And not a lower sodium diet. Yes. Okay, eating the salty potato chips is not a good thing. Okay, for a number of reasons. Eating a proper diet, and the Mediterranean diet is a proper diet, because the Mediterranean diet is, where do you get potassium? Well, everybody, you know, says, well, you know, eat a banana, you'll have potassium. While that is true, potassium is in fresh fruits and vegetables. So, you know, when your mother or your grandmother said, you need to get your fresh fruits and vegetables, you need to eat your broccoli, you need to eat your collard greens and those type of things, she was right, because that those fresh fruits and vegetables contain potassium, or at least the organic ones. We have really adulterated our food supply here in America. But that's another topic for another day. You got to get more potassium in your system. And
it's a matter of balance again, because according to this, if you cut out sodium, that's what everybody said, less salt, less salt, less salt, and you don't have enough potassium, your body starts hoarding sodium. It's like it's counterproductive. You got to balance, a proper balance between potassium and sodium.
And sodium, yes. And your body needs sodium. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the potassium-sodium pump that is in every cell of your body, for example. And so an imbalance in those minerals will cause an imbalance in that, which then really causes problems with your cells.
When potassium levels are low, the switch activates salt retention mode and increases blood pressure. So. Yeah.
It salt retention makes you, you know, thirsty and makes you retain water and doesn't do a lot of good things for your system. Like I said, Mediterranean style diet, eating fresh fruits and vegetables, beans, yogurt contains natural yogurt, for example, contains potassium. Or other potassium-rich foods is the best approach. going out to fast food restaurants is not your friend. So it's best to cook at home, and so that you know what you're getting, what type of food you're getting, and to shop around the store and not in the middle of the store.
Don't drink sodas. One a day can hurt you.
Yeah, the sodas are very bad because they're very high in sodium, not to mention sugar. Sugar is not your friend either. Because it causes inflammation as well as causes fat production. So those are type of things that you can do.
Well, there's another more element here I'd like to cover, then we need to go. But frequent conflict and hostility raises blood pressure. So I say, don't listen to the news anymore.
Yes.
Be news free. News free.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, this was a has been a problem over the last probably 8 years, where there's been so much conflict on the news, and it's like, man, they're trying to stir people up, and there is some truth to that. But even just natural conflict, we're going to have conflict with people. I mean, we're human beings. It's hard, even the Bible says, live, if at all possible, live at peace with one another.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Well, the best way to do that, of course, is to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to forgive. You know, unforgiveness causes high blood pressure. Fear, we all know anxiety. You know, your doctor will tell you, you got to lower the stress. You're working too hard. There's too much stress at your work site. You got to lower that. You say, how do I lower that? I mean, well, stress is just another term for fear. So you're afraid that something is going to happen. Faith is just the opposite of fear. Faith brings us hope. Stress and fear, we imagine a dark future. So those type of things, if you feel yourself being stressed, stop for a moment, take a deep breath, maybe even say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to relieve this stress in my life, and I trust in you completely. And then a few seconds, just you'll feel yourself calming down. Now, the great thing about this is that Jesus said before he left, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. So not as the world gives peace, but his peace. So accept his peace, and you'll live a healthier and fruitful life.
Good advice. And I think I'll put the link. This is an Epoch Times Health article. I'll put the link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. There's some good tips in here. And she's an expert, the doctor, in integrative medicine. And that has to do with emotions as much as it has to do with physicality. Some good advice here. And we're appreciative, Don, of what you bring us every week. And we thank you. Don, also, I mentioned a member of the board of Creation Moments, their website, creationmoments.com. Brand new website. It's well worth a look. And there you will find lots of scientific information that explains and teaches and enables you to teach the biblical story of creation. It's a great place to recommend to people in your Bible group, your church study, creationmoments.com. We recommend that website highly. And you can also on our website, Broken Road Radio, up in the podcast tab at the top, you can click on Don's name, and there's, good grief, Don, 12 years of podcasts with us here.
Yeah, I know. It's, wow. It's amazing.
Lots of good stuff there. Wow. So. Don, we appreciate you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week, okay?
You folks do too.
Bye-bye.